Thank you, you hit it right there, guys. Welcome, everybody, and everybody that's in the auditorium and online. It's good to see everyone, and sitting here trying to find my lesson. I titled this, and I didn't really finish the last part of it because I thought I had plenty and I didn't want to go over time. But I titled this lesson, Elijah, Elisha, Faith, and Resurrection. And I hope this lesson is an encouragement to you in these uncertain times. It's a lesson to how do we depend on the Lord and how do we increase our faith. But we got to always realize we do have a resurrection. There is more to come. And that's what the difference between Christians and atheists are. That's the difference between Pharisees and Sadducees of the first century. One had hope, one did not. We have hope. The Bible tells us we have hope. And all through that, we find God encouraging his people, not only with stories, but with miracles and different things. So turn to 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through 17, we're going to read that. And I'm going to make comments on that, and we're going to go to the New Testament. And then we're going to flip back. And so this is a story about Elijah. And there's a drought going on in the country. And the drought, up until verse 7, he has been by this brook, and the Lord has been taking ravens and feeding him on a daily basis. Now that actually has new meaning to me as I read that first part of that chapter of 17 about the ravens feeding them. I do believe this was God taking care of him, but in our area, there's a number of people that use birds to go hunt and bring and grab food. And actually, I didn't realize how much the old kings and the old people before we had guns, how much hunting was done with these types. And so as you read some of this, you wonder how God made all this happen. But what I want to read is, let's start off in verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up where Elijah was staying, because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Now, I thought it was interesting, and before I was doing this lesson, I never caught that he had already told this widow to provide for him. And I think that's interesting that's written there. So she's being commanded to provide for him. So this widow, probably, you know, best I can tell, it doesn't give me any insights whether she knew him before this. But she's been commanded to provide for him. So here's this widow. So we'll read on. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." So that is a key issue there right off the bat from the perspective that the widow would have water was lacking. So right off the bat, give me a jar of water. And so right off the bat, we see that the widow is already having to give a precious commodity in this drought. So in verse 11, as she was going to get it, notice she went to get it. He called to her and said, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. Now, I'm firmly in the belief Elijah knew what was going on here. That's my belief. And I think Elijah is not being selfish. This is not a man sitting here and saying, serve me. I think there's a point here. I think Elijah knew. But you think about this woman that she's asked for a precious commodity, water. She's going to get it. And then, please bring me a piece of bread in your hand. And let's look at her response. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Now, I do not have to share with you the love of a mother. But a mother will do anything for her children. I mean anything. They will sacrifice no matter what. And this woman is to the point, she's at the end of her rope. And whenever Elijah asks, bring me a piece of bread, I only have a handful left. And I'm going to feed my son and myself so we can die. You see, the hope is gone. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. And notice, bring it to me first. We're in the springtime of the year, which this is the time of the year I'm always reminded. It's one of my favorite times of the year because green beans and new potatoes come in. That is the best taste of that being boiled together and eating. That's the first fruits. And it tastes so good because we haven't had those fresh vegetables through the winter. And God wants the first. And Elijah, being God's servant, he says, first bring it to me. This woman had the right love. And this is the kind of love we all have to grow. Because this woman did as she was told. She brought Elijah a piece of bread before she gave it to her son. Every mother in here. Now, us fathers might not be this loving. But I know mothers will feed their children before they feed themselves. I know that. And aren't we glad we have mothers that do that? That's the kind of love we're supposed to have. But this mother understood serving God first was important. So, verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty, until the day of the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. We see this example play out time and time again, where if we follow God's commands and we serve Him, He's going to bless us. We see that time and time again throughout. And I think Those biblical examples are there for us to grow our faith, to have that. That's what I believe. Faith, so first, faith to seek the kingdom of God first. The woman did that. Elijah did that. Now, we can go to other passages. We can read where Elijah lost his faith. We can read where Elijah was weak and discouraged. But we see the woman here, and we see the son. Do we give God out of our excesses or sacrifice? This woman sacrificed. Do we have faith to obey when we aren't sure of the outcome? Did this woman really understand that she was fixing to be blessed and she was going to have plenty of food? I don't think she did. I think the test was there so that she had to do what she needed to do. And she followed God's command that she was supposed to take care of Elijah. And my last point, do we consider others before ourselves? We talked about the mother's love. I expect that. That's what I expect. But do we love others? This mother, this widow, and obviously she had not had an easy life. She was not sitting there by all estimations with pearls and jewels. She was out gathering water when Elijah comes to town. She didn't have servants doing this for her. So this is not somebody, and part of my point here is we don't any have an excuse. But notice that she considered others because God had commanded her. That was her responsibility. So turn with me to Colossians 3. Verses 12 through 15. Colossians 3, 12 through 15. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so you also. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. What I want to point out here is, not only do we serve God through our worship, but God's calling us to serve each other here. And how we treat each other in these times that we're going through. No one's going to make all the right choices. No one has got the perfect answer. But it's not about having the perfect answer to serve God. He wants us to serve Him. We find all the way through the Old Testament and in the New Testament, His servants failed Him. Not once, twice, and a number of times. But it was where their faith was. It was where their heart was. But what I want to point out here, not only do we have an obligation to worship, we have an obligation to each other. And that's, in these times of need, it's easy to get frustrated. And it's easy to start taking care of self. Turn to Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2, verse 3. Thank you. Philippians 2, verse 3 reads, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look at your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others." For us to serve God, we have to be thinking about others. It's as important to be serving God as it is to serve one another. And I believe this passage expands past the church. Whenever you go to Walmart, if in this time, do we say, "I'm going to go and get all of this," or "am I going to get just what I need and leave the rest?" That's not being selfish. Do I really need to go out? Do I need those supplies? Do I need that for my smoothie, or do I need that for my subsistence? Now, I'm not going to tell you I'm living all of this perfectly, but I'm just kind of giving you some applications for the situation we're in today. But what I do know is I have a responsibility to serve everybody else before I serve myself. Now, for us fathers, I'm going to say you need to be serving your family first. I think that's a godly principle. But after you get your family served, you better be serving everybody else before you serve yourself. Now, we're fortunate in this current situation that many of us don't have to change our lifestyles, because we live in rural areas. We do rural things. I'm not going to affect anyone if I go chase that turkey. But if I go chase that turkey when somebody has a need and I haven't helped fulfill that need, that's an issue. So make sure we're looking out for one another. It is our responsibility as Christians to watch out after people. And part of the reason I put Colossians in there, we are all going to have different opinions today in this current situation. And I want to turn you back over to Colossians. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience. We're going to have to bear with one another. It's not going to be easy. But it's work. That's work. But that's us serving the Lord. That is us proclaiming the gospel. That also is important as worship. So the last thing I want to do is I want to give you a passage that gives me great hope in the Bible. And I love a movie or a story of where all is lost, and then the Calvary comes riding in. And I love those stories. And our Bible has those. But as y'all know, I have many favorites, and I probably use that word too much, but I do have a lot of these passages just mean a lot to me. I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 23. It's a long read, but I want to read this. But here's what's going on. The Armenians are harassing the northern kingdom, the Israelites. And Elisha, now we're talking about Elisha. So Elijah was succeeded by Elisha. And the Armenians are harassing the Israelites, And Elisha is reporting their moves to the king of Israel. So let's read this and just and that. So I'm starting you off in the context. Now the king of Aram was warring against Israel. And he counseled with his servants, saying, "In such and such place shall be my camp." The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there." Elisha, God's servant, was their spy, and God was giving him these prophecies. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel?" One of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your own bedroom." God was revealing the Aramean king's plans. Verse 13. So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and take him." And it was told of him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Same thing we do today. We find a spy. What do? We go take them out during war times, right? During peacetime, we feed them information. Well, we actually feed them information in war times too. Once we can figure out we have a spy amongst us, if you read, we actually use the spy to our advantage then. But the king here says, "I'm going to take this guy out." He's over in Dothan, so he figures that out. Verse 14, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. The Arameans have come and surrounded Dothan, where Elisha is. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said, "At last, my master, what shall we do?" The servant had lost heart. Here we see all the physical attributes against us. The cavalry now is coming. So he answered, "Do not fear," verse 16, "do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Now, he told his servant this whenever the servant is standing up on the walls of Dothan looking at an army out there with horses and chariots riding around. And the servant is saying, "What are you smoking, Elisha? It's not there." I put that last part in there, by the way. It's the same thing we'd all say. We'd all probably be in the servant's point of view. "I don't see it. Why am I supposed to be encouraged?" Verse 17, then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. Let me read that verse again. Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. To me, this illustrates that there's not only the physical world we live in, but there is a spiritual world. God is in control. I cannot tell you what's going to happen in this pandemic. I am not Elisha. God didn't wake me up last night and say, "Clay, go say these words." I do believe God allows natural things to occur. I do believe in miracles. I don't know how they work, but I have faith. But I also know that death is not something I'm supposed to fear. But our encouragement as Christians is God is greater than the things around us. Now, verses 18 through 23, I'll read those real quick. And this is how God handled it. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people with blindness, I pray, so that he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. I don't know how that miracle works. Then Elisha said, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you into the man, to the man whom you seek. And he brought them to Samaria, which he carried them to their enemy, into a big city. When they had come to Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. Then the king of Israel, then he saw them, said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? God had taken these people. Elisha had, he had blinded them somehow, led them to Samaria, to the king of Israel. And then he said, shall I kill them? And he, verse 22, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those who have taken the captive, your sword, with your boat? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So that he prepared a great feast for them. And when he had eaten, he drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master's house. And the marauding bands of Arameans did not come again into the land of Israel. I don't know how God's going to take care of us. It might be death. But what I want to impress upon you, let's keep our faith. There's something greater than you and I. But also remember, as we serve our Lord, there's two great commandments. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart and love thy neighbor. Both of those are important. And we're here to serve our communities as well. And that's service to the Lord. I hope the lesson has been encouraging to everyone this morning. Let's pray. And for the people that are shut in right now, I hope you're adding more prayers in your day. I hope you're praying as a family. I hope you're praying for our leaders. I hope you're praying for the world over. Make no mistake, the situation we're in today, we might be here, we're probably going to be in this dire situation for a few more weeks. But this is not over. We're not through with this until we can get a cure to this. And I think the Lord's going to provide that. I think he might already provide it. Sometimes we just can't see it. But the point is, let's make sure we're praying our God. Because there's more of us, there's more of God than there is of evil. And that's what we need to keep our faith in. That is a great story. I hope you mark that story. That's one of those stories I like to go back and read. We ought to go make a movie on that one. I think we've made that scene many times in movies. But God will conquer. And let's keep our faith till the end, no matter when that end comes. If anyone here needs to obey the gospel, anybody needs to repent of their sins, we always leave this time, but always we come and say.